Well, I want to say this morning, Merry Christmas to all of you. You realize it's only 50 days until Christmas. And so this morning, I want to talk to you for a few moments before we get too far down the road and so busy with all the details of Christmas that we fail to miss out on the real meaning of Christmas. And so 50 days out, yes, it's a full 50 days, I want you to think about how you can have the very best Christmas ever. And we're going to turn to a portion of Scripture found in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, it tells us the story of Christ's birth. It's one that is oftentimes only read during the Christmas time. So 50 days out, we're going to read it this morning so that we can begin to think for the next 50 days, what is this story really all about? And how can we get the most out of this Christmas time together as a body of believers? Now, as I read through Luke chapter 2, what I want you to do is I want you to just allow your mind to begin to think about all the different things that have tied into this portion of Scripture. For some of you, you're going to think about being in a musical. Maybe you'll think about a time when you were a shepherd in a play, or you will think about times when you were, you know, around the Christmas tree as a family and you're reading the Christmas story, or just a thousand different thoughts are going to come through our minds. So let's just begin to think and see what happens as we begin to read this very familiar account 50 days out. Here's what it says. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 1. And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary's espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. How many have ever been an angel in any play or anything, any time in your life? Let me see your hands. Wave them at me. There's a number of you. All of these thoughts begin to come back. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which is told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Look at verse 20 one more time. Verse 20 says, And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, I'm going to read it from one more translation, the Message, and it's really a paraphrase, but I love what it says. It says, The sheep herders returned and let loose. I like that. They let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. They could not keep it silent. They let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. Now, reading this familiar account, it floods our minds with just a whole host of memories. Sunday school programs, musicals, family gatherings, Christmas Eve services, times of decorating trees and decorating homes and hanging lights and cookies and laughter and all of the thoughts that come to us as we think about the celebration of Christmas. I especially love the celebration that is found here in this portion of Scripture in Luke chapter 2. One by one, as you begin to read through this account, here's what you'll discover. You'll find one by one, every participant of the Nativity story gets drawn into the act of worship, adoration, and even giving celebration. It all started with one angel, and then there was a host of angels, and from the angels it spread to the shepherds, and the shepherds went everywhere telling everyone what they had seen and what they had heard. You see, in that moment, as you read through that portion of Scripture, you'll discover that heaven and earth were welded together in one incredible celebration. Let the earth rejoice and the heavens be glad. Jesus Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, had been born just as the prophets had foretold. And now they could not keep it silent, and they went everywhere telling everyone all that they had experienced. You see, friends, we've been hardwired by God emotionally with a computer chip, I would declare, and it's a celebration chip. This celebration chip is born into each and every one of us. It is in our emotional computer. The Bible says we have been created in the image and the likeness of God. Now let me ask you this morning, how do you perceive God? You know, sadly, many people, they view God as being totally stoic. God is a God of no emotion at all. In their mind, God is absolutely supernatural being who is totally devoid of any kind of an emotion that we can identify with. In their mind, God never smiles, God never laughs, God never celebrates. The only emotion that they will associate with God is anger. They will say, the only thing I know about God's emotion is God gets angry. Friends, this is not the God that is revealed in Scripture. God reveals himself in Scripture for many, many of us, and you will see the emotions, and these many emotions, one of which is celebration. Matter of fact, as you read through the Old Testament, you'll discover that God often is a God that celebrates. He takes time, and he encourages his people, the Jewish people at that time, to celebrate as well. In Genesis chapter 1, I love the way that chapter starts out. It simply says, in the beginning, what's the next word? God. In the beginning, one more time together, God. In the beginning, it is God. You know, if you stumble on those first few words of Genesis 1 and verse 1, you're going to stumble over why you're here, how you got here, what you're doing here, and where you're going. It's only found, those answers, the most important questions of life, and the answers to them are only found once we understand who created us, why we're here, and what this is all about. So in Genesis chapter 1, we discover God taking time in all of creation, all the creation activities, he takes time to celebrate. Let me prove that out to you. In verse 3, Genesis 1 and verse 3, and the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And let me tell you, when God lit the candle, he lit a big one, didn't he? I mean, the stars above, the moon, the sun, all of these, suddenly there was light. And the Bible says, and God paused for a moment and said, it is, what's the next word, remember? Good, that's right. So God took time to celebrate and said, it is good. Verse 10, God separated the earth and the sea. And again it says, and God saw that it was good. And then God creates the herbs, the grass of the field, the fruit trees. And again, God pauses and says, it is good. And then God creates the fish, the birds, and the cattle of the field. And God looks at it all and he says, it is good. And then in chapter 1 and verse 27, God created man in his own image and likeness. And then God steps back, and in verse 31, it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very, not only good, very good. So God took time every day to celebrate. It is very clear then from reading the creation account that God took time each day to celebrate the work of his hands. As you press on into the Old Testament, you'll discover that God commanded certain days of celebration. He said, I want you to stop what you're doing in life, and I want you to think about the importance of this moment, of this time, of this day, and I want you to celebrate. Just as I've shown you in the Old Testament already, take a pause, look at what God has done, and then celebrate. And in such times, it starts with Passover. He said, I never want you to forget the day that I deliver you out of Egypt. And I want you to remember the death of the firstborn, of those that would not, you know, be under the blood of Christ that was going to be coming in ages to come. And so we find the Passover, followed by the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles. You catch what it's saying here? There's a lot of feasting going on. There's a lot of celebration going on. He said, I want you to gather your families together, and I want you to remember what I have done for you. And so whether it's Passover or the Feast of Trumpets or the Feast of Tabernacles, he is saying the same thing over and over and over. I want you to pause. I want you to stop all the busyness. I want you to get off the merry-go-round long enough to look at what God has done and then celebrate what God has done for you. You see, these celebrations then, they were meant to jog our memories so that we would not be so apt to forget the marvelous works of God. You know, celebration is what keeps the blessing of God fresh and exciting in our lives. Man has been hardwired, as I've already said, and he searches for something to celebrate. And some of the things that we find our generation celebrating, not only our generation, but for many years, people look for something to celebrate. And so we celebrate New Year's Eve and New Year's Day and Columbus Day and St. Patrick's Day and Valentine's Day and Mother's Day and Father's Day and Groundhog's Day. I mean, we celebrate. Tomorrow morning when you go into your job, just listen to what they're going to be talking about. They're going to be talking about, it's Monday, and they're going to be talking about celebrating on Friday night. Thank God it is Friday. And so they're looking forward to it. And again, you see, we're hardwired, and so we're always looking and needing something to celebrate in our life. Now, friends, I, for one, I am going to unashamedly celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the one that is the way, the truth, and the life. Each year, in front of my home, I have a manger set that is set out, and, you know, I put a star that's lit above it, and along with that, there's a sign that I have that's lit alongside of the manger scene that says, Jesus, the reason for the season. Yes, I am going to celebrate the Christ of Christmas. And I'm convinced that all of the attacks against the celebration of Christmas that we've all seen, whether it's in the school systems, in the governmental systems, or whether it's someone else, or wherever it comes from, is really a part of a larger cultural war against not so much Christmas, but against Christ Jesus. And as Christians, I believe that we must lead the way in celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And so that is why 50 days out that I have paused this morning to encourage you so that we might lay out a plan of attack. We lay out a plan of how we are going to celebrate as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, how we are going to respond over these next 50 days. So this Christmas, I would encourage you first and foremost to celebrate God's love for mankind. You know, the first three chapters of the book of Genesis are absolutely packed full of examples of God's love. Matter of fact, the creation of man itself, the very reason why God chose to make Adam and then Eve was so that he might have someone that he could love on, someone that would have the ability to respond, having a free will to choose to love in return or to reject his love, to follow him or not follow him. Heaven is full of angels, cherubim and seraphim. But on earth, God wanted someone that would make the choice, the volitional choice, I am not just made to worship, I am desiring to worship the Lord our God. And so, the creation count in and of itself is absolutely an account of God's love. The creation of man, the creation of woman. God's daily visits to Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. When you read that cool of the day, I remind you once again, that means early in the morning and late at night. So it was God himself that would go and wake him up in the morning, and it was God that would tuck him in at night. God would start out their day with fellowship and communication, and God would close out the day that way. I remember so much when our children were young and small and still in their cribs. Sherry and I would get up in the morning and we'd run into their little bedroom there and look at them and just, you know, just stand there in absolute amazement at the gift of life and the privilege that God gives us to raise children for him. It's a reminder, God ran to the garden every morning, and he is the one that tucked them in at night. And I know that's, you know, using the term tuck in and wake up, God was there. That's what I want you to remember. God was there in the garden, not out of necessity, though there is a necessity. God was there because he loved his creation, Adam and Eve. God's daily visits prove that out. And then when Adam and Eve willfully sinned and disobeyed God, it tells us in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, from now on, you and the woman will be enemies, speaking to the serpent, as will your offspring and hers. You will strike his heel. Satan, you are going to strike the heel of man, but the coming Messiah is what is spelled out in the latter part of verse 15. When Messiah comes, he is going to crush your head. Friend, I would rather have a bruised heel than a crushed head. And Jesus Christ is going to crush the head of Satan once and for all, the Bible tells us. I'm so glad that when Adam and Eve sinned, God did not abandon his plan of friendship and fellowship with mankind. It tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 16, what drove the plan of God? The Bible says, For God so, who? The world. Yes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Was there a need? Yes. Was there only one way out for mankind? Yes. But why did God do what he did? Because he what? Loved this world. I want you to know God loves you. You may have been told all life long you were unplanned, especially in times when your parents were upset. You were not planned. You were a oops baby. You may have been told a thousand things in your lifetime. I want you to know this. Men may choose when to make love, but only God chooses when to make life. You are the creation of Almighty God. God loves you. And even though, like Adam and Eve, you may have gone your own way, God loves you. And God desires that relationship, that gap to be brought back together again, so you can be united with the one that created you, that loves you, that has plans for your life. God loves you. This Christmas, we're celebrating the love of Almighty God. Secondly, this Christmas, I encourage you to celebrate Christ's birth. God's love and Christ's birth. You know, it gets so easy once you get rolling down the road here. In the next 50 days, times become, for a lot of families, an intense time. There's travel, there's buying, there's shopping, there's a lot of stuff that actually we can get along without, but nonetheless, it is part of the culture that is kind of, in some ways, hijacked Christmas. But during this time, we need to keep our minds on the main thing, and that is the celebration of God's love, and secondly, celebrating Christ's birth. Look at it one more time in verse 10 of Luke chapter 2. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Aren't you glad? That is the message of Jesus Christ's birth. The angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, and this is going to be to all people. For unto you, now it gets personal, for unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior has been born, which is Christ the Lord. Now look at verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. One more time from the Message translation. The sheepherders returned and let loose. Say that with me. They did what? They let loose. I've seen some of you let loose. For the Packers. And that's all fun. There's nothing evil about that. Matter of fact, I think the G of, you know, of Green Bay really should stand for God. Because I'm sure he's a Packer fan. Although, they do need his help at the moment, all right? And the more they get close to God, the more they win. Look at their history. That's true. And in the Message translation, it just says, the sheepherders have returned and they let loose. I love that. And how did they let loose? They let loose glorifying and praising God for everything that they had heard and seen. Christmas is a time to celebrate Jesus' birth. Thirdly, I encourage you this Christmas season to celebrate your faith. Friends, Christmas is a great time to unashamedly declare by your actions and by your celebration, which our celebration is we're celebrating God's love, Christ's birth, and it gives us an opportunity to personalize to everyone that we come in contact with that this is a meaningful event in our life. It's not just a historical thing. It's not just a story, but it has been a life-changing part of our experience with God on this earth. And so as Christians, this is a great time to unashamedly declare, I am a Christian. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am committed to Him. I am a follower, and I will continue to follow Him all the days of my life. And that Jesus is my Savior. He is my Lord. And I am unashamed to declare Him to anyone, anytime, anywhere. Not only is He the Savior of the world, He is the Savior of my life. Psalm 107 and verse 2, I love that verse. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say it. Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord. This side over here is not with it yet. You got the same amount of sleep as these friends over here. Okay, so we're going to give you one more chance, all right? Let the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord. Now that word redeemed means something that once had to be purchased, bought back, redeemed, bought, and made His own the second time. You see, we belong to Him, And then we allowed volitionally our lives to go down a path far from him. And then when we came back to him, we've been redeemed. And that's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. How many in the house of the Lord this morning have been redeemed from the enemy's hand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Therefore, let the redeemed of the Lord we say so. And that is what our response is to the Christmas time. We celebrate God's love. We celebrate Christ's birth. And it's an opportunity for us to celebrate our personal faith in Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you, this Christmas season at family gatherings, offer up that prayer of God's blessing before meal. Maybe you say, well, I don't come from a Christian family. Many of you are the first generation. You're the first one redeemed of the Lord. Amen? Then it's our responsibility to do what?
Say so.
And there's great opportunities. You know, the people that know us the best and have been in our lives the longest are many times the ones that are the most intimidating when it comes to, you know, sharing our faith with them. Friends, this Christmas season, let's unashamedly, we've been redeemed. We've been bought with a price that is greater than silver or gold, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And at those family gatherings, that's a great opportunity for you to share your faith. And simply, not shoving it down their throat every time you turn around and every gift they open, they find it's full of tracks and there's nothing else in there, you know. And all this kind of stuff. I'm talking about God will give you, if you're praying, you've got 50 days to pray about this. If in these 50 days you're praying, you're saying, God, mom and dad need Christ. My brothers and sisters are far from you. And their lives are full of tension. They're full of confusion. There's addictions they cannot break. And they long to break them. They do not want to live the way they're living. God is going to give you an opportunity to say a word in due season. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, at the office Christmas parties, that's a great opportunity. Again, you see, during this Christmas time, just as, let me do a little comparison. When the Milwaukee Brewers were still in the running, our city, you could talk to anyone about baseball. I mean, people that have never memorized a single name, they could give you the stats, they could tell you who they were, what, you know, position they play, all of this. And there was citywide. I mean, you could talk to people, you could be on a bus, you could be in a grocery line, you know, at a store, ready to check out. And I mean, everyone, there was just something that was kind of gluing everyone together for those moments. Christmas is doing the same thing. Christmas, for a moment, begins to glue everyone's mind on the coming of Christ, and at least the secular side that's been celebrated. So everyone is thinking in some way. You know, I've been in parts of the world where there's been 1% and 2% Christian. That's all in the whole country. Do you realize there are countries in the world that this day, while we gather together in the house of the Lord, the two services this morning, there will be more Christians here at Oak Creek Assembly of God this morning than in some entire nations of the world. And yet those believers, though they're surrounded, they let their voice be heard. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. At times they're inviting, you know, Muslims' friends and, you know, those that come out of Islam and those that are involved in isms of every kind all over the world, come over to our house. Let us show you how we celebrate Christmas. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Office parties. You know, I was invited by Elmer N. Olson to share at our Christmas gathering. It would have been the second or third year that I was at the company. Company parties went this way. everyone would drink until they couldn't hold their drinks, and you'd hear them dropping, breaking on the floor. I mean, that's the way it was. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's the way it was. You cannot party without booze, and you cannot booze without having a party. And so let's put it together with Christmas, and that's what Christmas is all about. And these guys and ladies would leave, you know, going home, and I just pray, God, keep them safe on the highways and keep them from harming themselves or anybody else. And so Elmer came to me one day. Elmer Olson was a wonderful Lutheran man that owned the company. And he came to me, he says, Jerry, he said, why don't you share? Will you share with us the, you know, the Christmas party this year? You can do whatever you want. And I did. And I got up and I read out of Luke chapter 2, just what I read to you today. And suddenly I noticed this. The whole atmosphere, it was all stores joined together. And so the rigging department, parts department, the service department, sales department, shipping, receiving, office personnel, from all of their stores across the whole metropolitan area. They were all there. And I read that story. And all of a sudden I saw the glasses of booze kind of slide away like, that ain't mine, preacher boy. That's what they all called me, preacher boy. And the whole place took on a brand new aura. And from that moment on, I had a chance in my main store, where I managed the parts and service departments. In our store, which was the largest of all, I had an opportunity to share with every single person, whether they're in the office or in sales, or whether they're in the parts department, the service department, shipping, whatever department they were in. From that moment on, they all would seek me out. They would say, you know, can you pray for me? My son's in the hospital, and I know that I've made it really rough on you, and I've called you names across the whole plant, but will you pray for me and pray for my son? And we would pray. And the next one would come and say, you know, my marriage is falling apart. Will you pray for my home, pray for my marriage? I don't know what's going on. Before it was done, I had an opportunity to pray for every single person in the Elmer and Olson Company. Elmer came to North Central University to be part of my graduation. And he gave me a dictionary, which I keep to this day as a keepsake. Because Elmer, which is now many, many, many years gone home to heaven. As I mentioned, he was a great believer in Jesus Christ. He was a phenomenal Lutheran man that loved God, loved Christ. And his only hope of salvation is that just shall live by faith in Jesus Christ. And so he wrote in the cover, just thanking me for living out the Christian life. He went on to say, he said, if you've got any brothers or any other family members that are like you are, send them to us. They'll have a job here anytime they come. I'm only telling you that. I'm not saying any of that. To build myself up or make myself great. That is not the point. I get it. What I'm simply saying is if you will let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and if you'll speak up, it may seem like small, but it'll grow, and God will give you more and more opportunities. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. This Christmas season, let me just encourage you. I mean, enjoy every moment. Invite others into your life. Forgive someone that needs forgiveness. Enjoy the music of the season. It's, you know, it's music that has a shelf life, except for here in the church office. I've been listening as Pastor Dan has been practicing and getting, since about May, I hear Christmas music. And so I get a lot more than you guys normally would. I'm just saying that it's got a shelf life. And you won't hear a lot of Christmas music on the 27th of December. And you won't hear it again for 300 and some days. Enjoy every bit of it. Celebrate in it. Celebrate the God that created the heavens and the earth, that created man. Celebrate God's love. Celebrate Christ's coming. Take the opportunity to invite your friends. You see, everyone, just like with the brewers, for that unique moment, and that was quite a unique moment, I had more people tell me, it's like the city is happy again for a moment. For all the stuff, the shootings in the streets and the corruption and, you know, the political division and all the stuff that is going on. For a moment, everyone was thinking about something more. And they were thinking about, let's go all the way, brothers, let's go. And they took us a long way, and it was a fun ride. But let me tell you, there's nothing like the moments when everyone starts to focus and they begin to think, this is Christmas, and the redeemed of the Lord are going to rise up and say so.